Joining me on the line from the United States is Joel Pollack, the senior editor at large at Great Bit News. Joel, thanks so much for joining us. As we wait for the meeting to start, how do you think the outcome of this Ramaphosa-Trump meeting could influence the South African Jewish community's sense of security and international standing?
Well, I don't know exactly how to answer that, because the South African Jewish community has concerns that will extend far beyond the topics of these meetings. I think the most important concern for South African Jews would have to be security. And while many South Africans also have to deal with crime and other security threats, the South African Jewish community is particularly threatened by anti-Semitism and by radical anti-Israel protests that have besieged the institutions of the community. I don't see the South African government doing enough to control those, and in fact, it's adding fuel to the fire with its radical anti-Israel position. I know that Secretary of State Marco Rubio emphasized South Africa's opposition to Israel yesterday at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Senator Ted Cruz, who's on that committee, also pointed that out. So the South African government certainly knows that the United States would like to see a different policy from South Africa on Israel. But whether that changes as a result of today's meeting is anybody's guess. It does appear that Cyril Ramaphosa and his delegation have arrived not to compromise, not to do deals where each side moves closer to the other, but rather, in their own words, to explain, to clarify, in other words, to lecture the American side. It's a rather arrogant posture, and I don't think it's actually a posture. I think it's a negotiating strategy. I think that what Ramaphosa wants to achieve is simply to have the meeting with all the pomp and ceremony and to show the South African media that he can be taken seriously without actually getting anything substantive done, because he's not offering any compromises. So I'm not particularly optimistic about what this means either for the South African Jewish community or for the South African nation in general.
Given the U.S. administration's recent decisions, such as granting refugee status to white South Africans, what impact could this have on perceptions of racial and religious dynamics within South Africa?
I don't think the Afrikaner refugees are as important to public perceptions in the rest of the world as is Julius Malema and the radical things he says, the crazy calls for killing farmers, shoot to kill on Human Rights Day of all times. Julius Malema is the most important global ambassador for South Africa, whether you like it or not. His videos go viral, his statements are subject of international news coverage, and South Africa has laws that ought to rein that in, but South Africa thus far has refused to enforce those laws. By the way, even the United States, which has the most freedom of expression in the world, the most wide-ranging, unrestrained First Amendment law, Julius Malema's statements would arguably be a form of incitement that is actually prohibited by law. So we're watching this happen, and it doesn't seem like it's adding anything positive to the dynamic in South Africa and dragging South Africa backwards several decades. So it's not encouraging.
And just to mention, while I'm chatting with you, Joel, I'm watching the AP Associated Press feed, and it's outside the White House where it looks like they are still waiting for the delegations to arrive, despite the fact that we were told that the meeting was going to start at 5:30 South African time, which is 14 minutes ago. Joel, how do you interpret the potential effects of this meeting on South Africa's relationship with Israel, especially in light of what you said and considering the differing stances on the Gaza conflict?
Well, let me just describe what people may be watching. So you're looking at the entrance to the West Wing, which is where guests are typically received. And the fact that the color guard has arrived from the United States military tells you that the arrival of the dignitaries is imminent. In the background, you see the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, which is where most of the White House staff actually work. Only the senior officials work in the West Wing, and most of the other officials work in that Eisenhower building. And anyway, you'll see them come up the driveway under that portico, and then they'll head into the White House. They've got a meeting. They've got a bilateral discussion to which I understand the press is going to be invited, and then they've got a lunch together with the delegation, and then finally a press availability in the Oval Office. So there will be plenty of opportunity for journalists to ask questions. No, I don't know exactly what to expect. Anything could happen. I do think the fact that Ramaphosa is bringing several golfers with him is an attempt to smooth things over with Trump, but it doesn't address any of the substantive issues that you've just raised. And I also think that the fact that so many white South Africans have been included in the delegation is also an attempt to sort of convince the media that there's no quote-unquote genocide. The South African government is fixated on the idea that there's some kind of white genocide and that they have to dispel that impression. They really don't seem to care very much about hurling false accusations of genocide against Israel, but they're suddenly very sensitive when it comes to Trump mentioning the word genocide in connection with the treatment of white farmers in South Africa.
In what ways could this meeting, the discussions in the meeting on land reform and minority rights, affect the South African Jewish community's engagement with broader South African society?
Well, I think South African Jews are in a unique position in that South African Jews already have a place to go as refugees. South African Jews can go to Israel, and many South African Jews do and are very happy there and are an incredibly important part of the Zionist project. I think, however, that when it comes to relations with other minorities, one of the other minority groups in South Africa that creates particular issues for South African Jews is the Muslim community, which is larger than the Jewish community, although it's still a small percentage of South Africans. But the Muslim community has become quite radicalized on the question of Israel. And so these two communities, which otherwise have a lot in common, both in terms of their aspirations and their status as minorities in South Africa, are actually at odds with one another, and that antagonism comes almost entirely from the Muslim side. The Jewish community would like to live peacefully with its Muslim neighbors, but the Muslim community or elements of the Muslim community have decided to target the Jewish community in a way that is bad for the Jewish community, bad for the Muslim community, and ultimately bad for South Africa.
Do you think that anything is going to come out in terms of South Africa's relationship with Israel? Is there going to be an attempt for Trump to try change Ramaphosa's stance or vice versa?
I know that there are some officials in the Trump administration for whom that's very important. Again, Secretary of State Rubio mentioned it yesterday, but I'm not sure it's going to be discussed explicitly between the two leaders. It is one of many important issues, but I think the most important issue is the issue of racial discrimination by the South African government against white South Africans, not just farmers, but against investors who are required to hand over portions of their companies, if their companies are large enough, to black investors who may not be able to buy the shares. That affects foreign investment in South Africa because, as Elon Musk has been saying, he cannot invest in South Africa unless he's black effectively, or unless he gives up part of his company to black investors whom he doesn't know. And that is, I think, the number one issue, because it makes South Africa an unattractive destination for investment. Property rights become less secure. The United States wants South Africa to be strong economically because otherwise it cannot be a good ally on the African continent. So I think those racial issues are paramount, both because they're very emotive and because they deal directly with the economy and investment. The Israel issue will come up. It's not clear to me whether it will come up directly between the two leaders, but perhaps it will come up during the question and answer with journalists.
I'm chatting with Joel Pollack, the senior editor at large of Breitbart News, and we're watching live pictures and waiting for the meeting between the South African President Cyril Ramaphosa and the American President Donald Trump to get underway. Joel, the meeting was supposed to have started now 19 minutes ago. Is this fairly common that the meetings start late?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, that's a short answer. It's not significant. It doesn't mean anything.
No, and the Trump White House is more punctual than the Biden White House was, but it's the nature of these things that the world is constantly throwing up new events to which the administration has to react, and so everything is always running late. Today, the big news domestically is that Trump is trying to push through his new budget, which has required a significant amount of arm twisting in Congress. And he's demanding that the Republican leaders of the House of Representatives meet him in the White House today. So his mind is very much on domestic issues at the moment. And so that could also be delaying things because he has a unique window in which to pass that budget and then send it over to the Senate. And it's got a number of provisions that are key campaign promises. For example, Trump promised people who work for tipped wages, like waiters and taxi drivers and so forth, that he would remove the tax on tips. They wouldn't have to report their tipped income as regular income. That was a hugely popular suggestion during the campaign, so much so that Democrats quickly copied it, and he needs to get that through. So that's what he's preoccupied with. That might have something to do with the delay, although one can never be sure.
I did see a report that suggested, and this was yesterday, that Ramaphosa was being accompanied by the DA leader, John Steenhuisen. But I'm looking at the latest list of who's in the delegation, and it doesn't seem that he's part of it. I don't know if you can confirm this, but if he's not part of it, is that anything significant?
I have seen his name in the list of people expected, so I would anticipate that he will be there. If he isn't there, maybe he's decided to apply for refugee status. I have no idea.
Do you think this meeting is going to go well or badly? And connected to that is, let's just assume it goes badly and both sides are frustrated and we get a bit of a repeat of what we saw with Zelensky. Do you think then that the repercussions of that are going to be felt, or is the meeting mostly symbolic?
Daddy? I don't think the meeting will produce much of substance, but I don't think it's going to be a repeat of Zelensky. You know, there's this mistaken impression out there in the media that Trump invited Zelensky to the White House for a dressing down and that Trump initiated that argument. If you watch carefully, you'll see that Zelensky was the one who actually initiated the confrontation. I don't think Cyril Ramaphosa is foolish enough to do that, and not just because he has seen Zelensky go through an unpleasant episode, but because Ramaphosa is a very skilled negotiator, and he understands that. That's been clear to the Americans for a long time. They know that he's not going to do anything silly like that. So I actually... coming from either side. I do think that it's possible that the media, the journalists, could decide to ask confrontational questions in an effort to pit the two leaders against one another, and I think that may happen. But I don't think it's going to be as bombastic and confrontational as the meeting with Zelensky was. Having said that, I don't think
it seems like we're losing you, Joel. But
I don't think any preparation has gone into that ambition. I don't see South Africa offering any compromises. I haven't seen any kind of draft plan or set of proposals. So it's sort of like providing a few
Okay, Joel, we're going to leave it there. We seem to be losing you in the reception, and we've kept you long enough.